Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to help you to receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and said they are life and that they are spirit. We call them leading words because they lead you to everlasting life. Today, another great day of God, the day of Thanksgiving. And this Sunday is what we call Thanksgiving Sunday. Thanksgiving Sunday. And for that, we have a scripture that I want to share with you. That scripture is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it read to us as follow in the name of the Lord. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It means then that God always loves, and it is always His will for you to give Him thanks in everything. In everything. Perhaps you don't want to thank Him for everything, but in every condition of your life, it is His will that you will give Him thanks. And for that, I want to pull you now to a story in the book of Mark. St. Luke, Gospel chapter 17. I'm so excited today. I am messing up my scriptures here, but in St. Luke Gospel, chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, there is a very interesting story that is going to pull you to pieces and force you to give God thanks for all that He has done in your life. So if you have your Bible, it says like this in Luke Gospel chapter 17. It says, verse 11, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then He said, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And I'm going to leave the reading until right there. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus is passing through Samaria. And He's not just passing through Samaria. He's on His way, according to Luke chapter 17. It says, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem. Now, listen carefully to this. Usually when Jews are passing from Galilee, going down to Jerusalem, they try not to pass through Samaria. They will go around to the coast side, or they might even go to the desert side. But they try for everything possible when they're going from Galilee to Jerusalem. They try as hard as possible not to go through Samaria. Of course, it is shorter to go through Samaria than to go around Samaria, whichever side you want to take. It is always shorter to go through. Jesus now coming with His disciples, He decided, I'm not going around through the coastline to get to Jerusalem. And I'm not going around through the desert side, Jordan side, to get to Jerusalem. He said, no, I'm going to pass through. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I'm not going around. I'm going through. So he went through Samaria. And the reason why the Jews will not go through Samaria, even though it was the shortest way to get to Jerusalem from Galilee, it's because the Jews and the Samaritan, they don't get along. The Samaritan are a mixed breed of Jewish people. And when they came back from Assyria, you know, they were in Assyria as captive people. When they came back from Assyria, many of them, they mix a whole lot, you know, they weren't pure-breded Jews anymore. They were Jews mixed with all type of whatever they mixed themselves with. So the pristine Jews that never mixed didn't like, had no fun of those other Jews that they considered mixed breed. So because of that tension between mixed Jews and pure-breded Jews, if you want to use those expressions, because of these tensions all the time, they don't like each other. So the Jerusalem Jews or the Galilean Jews, the pure-breded ones, will stay away from the mixed-breeded ones. And the mixed-breed one will stay away from, so they keep away from one another. And they always have clash and they will beat up one another. They just don't like one another. Well, the scripture said that Jesus is passing now. And they all know that he is a Jew from Israel. And or a Jew that they consider pure-breded Jews. He decided, I am going through Samaria. And as he's going through Samaria, the Bible said that he passed a group of lepers. Now, these guys are sick with a disease that in those days had no cure. And leprosy is not an easy disease. Leprosy is a disease that attacked the joints of the body, the joints. And this disease was so devastating that it would eat the joints. And in its procedure of eating the joints, it will eat the nervous system of the body. To such a degree that your hands or the areas of your joints become numb. So much so that sometimes the disease will eat off the joints and the ligaments that are holding the fingers together. And the fingers will drop off and you won't even know it. Because of course it sears the nerves and the nerves stop feeling. So you can't even feel that the fingers fell off. So to avoid that, many of the lepers will wrap their fingers and wrap their hands and wrap their elbows and wrap the joints of their body. So they will wrap themselves, wrap, for fear that parts of the body will begin falling off and they won't even know it. So they're always wrapping because this disease eats the joints, the cartilage, the ligaments, the things that holds the body together. It eats it. It just destroys the body until it kills the person. Bad disease. But anywhere Jesus went and he saw people with this disease, he will heal them. He will heal them. But there were rules. There were rules. And the rules say that you should not touch them. And the rules also say that they should cover their mouths and they should keep a distance, you see. And you should not touch them. But if you do touch them, you should quarantine for 7 days. And they should live outside of the city. So most of these guys were outcasts. They couldn't come into the city. And if they will come into the city, they have to keep a distance. Keep a distance. And they must announce themselves. They must make people know that I am a leper, stay away. And of course, people would see them with all these wrappings and they would wrap their noses and wrap their faces because the nose will fall off. Sometimes their ears will fall off. And their elbows, their hands disjoint, dislodge itself. So now people will see a person coming with all these wrappings. They know, that's a leper. But they must keep the distance. The Bible said that 10 of them were together. 10 lepers, and 9 or perhaps more than 9 or less than 9 were Jews, or who knows, some were Jews and some were Samaritan, Or perhaps one alone in the group was a Samaritan, who knows? But the thing is, there were 10 of them. So the 10 of them passing, and Jesus is passing on the other side, and they saw Jesus and they recognized him. Perhaps they might have heard somebody saying Jesus of Nazareth, because anywhere Jesus go, he always pull a crowd. So lots of people running up to Jesus. And remember, he passed through Samaria. Samaria, remember, he met the woman at the well and spoke to her, and a whole town came out to meet Jesus, and they all got saved through Jesus, even passing through Samaria. So anywhere Jesus go, he's just attracting people, and sick folks and needy folks will come around, and he will heal them and minister to them. So I guess, you know, we don't know, because the scripture doesn't say this piece, but one thing the scripture says is that the group of lepers, when they saw him, they call out to him. And the reason they call out is because when other people were coming to Jesus Christ, they couldn't come. Remember, they are lepers and they should not come close to people. So they have to stay from far and call out to him. So they all then start calling out, Jesus, Messiah, or Jesus, Son of God, or Jesus, Master, Master. Have mercy on us. Hey, Jesus, over here. And they call out to him. So when they call out to him, his attention was drafted, you know, so he turned and he saw them. So from far, because they can't come close according to Levitical rules, scriptures. So since they can't come close to him from far, he told them what to do. He said, all right, go show yourselves to the priest and you'll be all right. Because anytime a person got healed of leprosy, they couldn't just go home or go back into the city and change their clothing and say, I'm healed of leprosy. No, they had by rule now to go to the high priest in the temple in Jerusalem, and they had to go to the high priest in Jerusalem, and the high priest will do a testing on them. And if the testing comes out negative, then the high priest will absolve them and say, well, you have no more leper. You can go home, change your clothes. They will burn their old clothing, give them new clothing, and they will go home to their family, and they are absorbed back into society. So Jesus said to these lepers, he said, all right, no problem. Go show yourself to the high priest. But they are not healed yet. So he's saying to them, you don't worry about the healing. You just do what I tell you to do. And if you obey and do what I tell you to do, in the process, I take care of the healing. Sometimes that's the way God operates. Sometimes God wants us to go ahead of the results. Sometimes we want the results first, then we go and comply with whatever compliance we need to. And sometimes God is saying, no, I want you, see that, before the results come, I want you to go show yourself. I want you to begin the process of thanking God. I want you to begin the process of glorifying God. I want you to begin the process of showing appreciation to God, even before God do the work for you. Ah, then you might say, but what if I show thanksgiving to God and appreciation and he doesn't do it? Good, you still didn't lose anything. That's why he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, be thankful in everything, for that's the will of God. Because the will of God is that you give God thanks whether he does something for you or not. So if God heal you, you thank him. But if he doesn't heal you, you still thank him. He said, because that's the will of God through Jesus Christ concerning your life. Some people only thank God when they receive from God. But when they don't receive, they don't give him thanks. And he's trying to show us something, that we still have the obligation to give God thanks, whether he do for us or he doesn't do anything for us. But there is never the such words He didn't do anything for me. Because just the very fact that you are alive another day, just the very fact that you are alive even now, that's the doings of the grace of God. And I tell you this, life for us is never meritorious. Nobody is alive because they merit to be alive. Life for us is not meritorious. Life for us is grace. And that's why when you read Psalm 100, you remember Psalm 100, very famous psalm, and plenty of people read it for Thanksgiving. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But when you read that verse 1, Psalms 100, it reminds you, it said, we must give God thanks and appreciate him. He said, because it is God that made us and not we ourselves. And the truth is that even though God knew that we weren't going to turn out to be anything good, he still made us. That's grace. That's grace. And that's why we should thank him for his grace. We didn't merit it. Because God saw the future and he saw, if I make these guys, they're going to come out bad. But he still made us. It is grace, and that's why you should thank him for what he has done. And if you think he never done anything for you, you still have to thank him. Because just the mere fact that you're alive, it's God's grace, and it's a big deal. He have done some great things for you. Now, let's go back to this. As they're going, the Bible says, as they are going, these 10 lepers, to show themselves to the priests, one of them realized that they are healed. Well, why they didn't realize that they were healed before? Remember, these guys are wrapped. You see, they are wrapped, and they are wrapped up with lots of cloth, trying to keep their joints together, trying to keep the fingers, the hands, the wrist, the elbows, the arm. They're trying to keep themselves together, so they wrap themselves. Now that they get healed, they really don't realize it, because that's the way healing works. I remember getting sick one time, and I was so sick, extremely sick. The guys in the Bible school took me to the church, and they dressed me up. I was convulsing. My eyes had swollen and my lip had swollen, and I was having a fever of about 105, 107, I don't know what it was. And it was raining, and those guys dressed me up and took me to the church from the Bible school. Took me to the church in this rain. I have a swollen eye and swollen lip, big convulsion. Fever, temperature of over 105, shaking. They forced me, instead of taking me to the hospital, to be the church. But what I'm trying to say is this, that when I got to the church, two lumps behind my head, I'm having bowel movements, I'm just convulsing. When the pastor saw me and I came into the church, they sat me down. And then he said, bring him, bring him. And as they took me to the altar, I remember my fellow student, the pastor told them to sit down, and only the elders of the church came around me. And these old women and old men, they prayed for me. And when they got through praying for me, I still had a big swollen eye, big lip, ball behind my neck, running a high temperature. And they said, all right, sit him down. And they sat me down. Do you know that the pastor went back and teach his class, and we are in this little service. Suddenly, I said to the brother that was sitting beside me, I said, hey, look, the swollen gone. And I told him, touch, the temperature is gone. In 3 to 5 days, my temperature had never dropped. And my lip, the healing just happened suddenly like that. I didn't even know. I was sitting listening, wrapped in this big jacket that they put on me because it was raining, and I still had on the big jacket, and I'm sitting there, and then it just dawned on me, hey, you see? So I can understand these 10 lepers, they are wrapped up in all of this garb, and they're walking, and they don't realize that the body got healed. But one of them, the Bible said, when he saw that he was healed, he like, hey. And I imagine he start taking off the wrappings and he realizes he's healed. And the other 9, I guess they follow suit and they start to realize they were healed. They continue going to the temple. But this one, he turned around and he said, no, I can't go further. He turned around and he came back to where Jesus was. And from far, as he's begin approaching, the Bible says he began glorifying God. It used the word doxa, so doxa, like doxology. From far, he began ascribing honor, ascribing weight, value to Jesus Christ. He began ascribing esteem to Christ. He said, oh my God, you are everything that they say about you. You are the healer. They say you are a healer. Well, you are a healer. They say you are a savior. Well, you are a savior. They say you are the redeemer. Well, you are the redeemer. They say you are a miracle worker. Well, you are the miracle. He's from far. He begins doxology. He began ascribing honor to Christ and honoring him for being everything that they said about him. And that's what God is saying. He's the only one that came back. And the Bible said he threw himself on the floor at the feet of Jesus and began to worship him and gave him thanks. And the word that is used is Eucharistos, thanks. Eucharistos, Eu, good, Charistos, grace, good grace, good grace. He began to say, God, I thank you for your good grace, your good grace, your good grace. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? Weren't 10 people that I just healed? How come only this one came back? He's the only one. And then it said, and out of all of them, the only one that came back is an outcast, a stranger. The Jews, who should know better, they got the grace, but they run with it. And this guy that is an outcast, at least, look at that, he came back to say, thank you, thank you, thank you for your good grace. Thank you for your good graces. And today, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, that's what it's all about. Nothing meritorious, nothing that we deserve, nothing that we merit, all because of grace. And it is called good grace. Good grace. Eucharisto.